Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Friday, February the 15th. Happy Friday, everyone. The weekend is almost here, and we got a great show for you today. There's a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins, so I'm just going to jump right into it as we got a lot of information to talk about. First and foremost, just to put sort of a bow on this whole thing, Ricky Williams, on the season finale of Celebrity Big Brother, he came in second place, took home the $50,000 prize. A good showing, but honestly, anyone who sort of followed him on this show, or even just watched the final show, realizes Ricky made a boneheaded mistake and, you know, should have won this game easily. And he screwed it up and cost himself a lot of money. Essentially, Ricky in the final show won the final two head of households, which means he had all the power, and he had the power to evict three of the four other people he was up against. And by him having that power, he then picks the one person he sits next to in the final two, and then the people he threw out of the house vote on who should be the winner. And out of the three people he evicted, if he keeps any one of them, and is sitting next to them in the final two, Ricky Williams wins this game and wins a whole lot of money for himself. But Ricky sent those three home, and he kept the person who could beat him, and they did beat him easily, 9-0 in the final vote, because the final vote, usually in this game of Big Brother, when you get to the final two, and when you have to pick a winner, it's usually like a 6-3 vote, a 5-4 vote. It's really close. It's razor thin. You never see a 9-0 vote. And this was a 9-0 vote where Ricky lost, and he picked the person he lost to. Literally, if he picked any of the other three people, he would have won. Which, you know, put the internet, and this is where the internet, social media, Twitter, that's when it's at its best. Because as this is happening on live TV, everyone starts in with the Ricky must be back to smoking weed. I mean, Ricky had all these options. He picks the wrong one. He must have been high tonight. It's like none of it made any sense. But, you know, I will say this about Ricky. You go on a show like this, maybe not necessarily for the money. And a lot of the people who are on the show are, you know, C-list celebrities. Some of them I've never even heard of before. Like the young lady who won, Tamar Braxton. I really never heard of her up until this show. There's a few other people on the show like that I never heard of before. You know, it's like they go on this show to sort of reshape their image. And to sort of, you know, you might have someone on there like Tom Green. Nobody's really heard of Tom Green in like 20 years. Well, now Tom Green's on, you know, CBS, a network show for like, you know, 2.5 weeks straight. Tom Green's, you know, back in, you know, show business again. You got someone like Joey Lawrence, who was a star when he was a kid. And had, you know, a few hit shows as he got older. But nobody's really talking about Joey Lawrence. And now he's back on a network show for a few weeks, sort of getting some positive publicity. You know, people like that, C-list, even some D-list celebrities. Ricky Williams, you know, to the non-Miami Dolphin fan, to your average Joe, is a guy who quit the NFL to go smoke dope. And that's all he's ever going to be known for. It was a viral moment back in 2004 that, you know, most of your casual people, oh yeah, ain't that the guy who quit to go smoke weed? Yes, that's who Ricky Williams is. So for him to go on a show like this, it's not necessarily about winning, although that would be nice because it's a lot of money to win. It's not necessarily about anything else other than to sort of reshape your image. And on this show, Ricky, I will say, he comes off as very likable. Very likable. Now, he does have some skeletons in his closet in his personal life, which I won't go into. If you want to know about it, you know, pop on the internet. You can find all that stuff out. When it came to stuff off the field, He's never been a Saint, and he's been, you know, just some personal life stuff that I'm not going to talk about, but it's not great. But on a show like this, where, you know, that stuff's not being talked about, you know, he is likable, friendly, very down to earth, and, you know, he can shape his image. So people who probably at the start of the show look at him and go, oh, that guy's a clown, he's a joke, he just, you know, smoked weed because he quit the NFL, walked away from all that money. After, you know, 16, 17 days or however many days the show was, you know, he's a pretty bright guy. He's a smart guy. He's very kind and soft-spoken. You know, you change your image. And that's why you get people on shows like this. Some of it, use it to sort of get themselves back in show business. And the other half of the people just do it to sort of change their image. Ricky is on there to change his image. And I think it worked. He came off very likable. But he did screw up their final game. He did screw it up royally. The one person he couldn't pick to go to the final two, he picked, and it cost him a whole lot of money. So a good showing by Ricky Williams on Celebrity Big Brother. If you haven't watched it, I'm sure it's on demand. You can stream all the shows. There's really not that many shows. It's a shorter version of the game that lasted about 2.5 or 3 weeks. You can watch it, and you'll get to see Ricky Williams in a whole different environment than you're used to. Okay, let's get to... and I've had a lot of people ask me about Dom Capers. Is he going to come to Miami? No word yet. I've reached out to some people. No word yet. The last we heard was from the great Alex Marvez from Sirius XM NFL Radio. And he said he believed Capers probably would choose Miami if he was going to work this year as sort of a senior assistant. And it was down between Miami and Jacksonville after he turned down the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator job, but there's no official word yet. I would think if this is going to happen, you'll probably hear an announcement in the next, you know, 2 weeks. I would guess before the start of the league year in early March. That's when you're going to hear something official come down, but nothing of yet, so I wanted to mention that real quick. The other rumor report that's sort of floating out there, and it's floating out there in a few places from some reputable sources, is that the Miami Dolphins might be interested in trading for quarterback Jacoby Brissett with the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, he would be sort of that bridge quarterback for the Miami Dolphins until they find their quarterback of the future. And, you know, on the surface, that's the type of guy that probably would interest Miami. That would interest Miami and having a quarterback. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if... First off, here's the deal. I don't know why the Colts would want to trade him. Jacoby Brissett's only making $2 million. And Andrew Luck, even though last year Andrew Luck was fantastic and he played every game, you know, has had injury history of late. So if you're the Colts, your number two quarterback is very, very important. And the last time Jacoby Brissett was on the field for Indianapolis... You know, his numbers weren't awful. In 2017, that's where he played in 16 games for Indianapolis. He threw for 3,100 yards. I'll round up. It was 3,098. So he threw for 3,100 yards, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So 2-for-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Is it a ton of touchdowns? No, it's not. But that year, Indianapolis was a mess and didn't have a lot of help around him. So, you know, with little help around him, Jacoby Brissett was, you know, okay. He's that sort of caretaker quarterback, that guy who can sort of, you know, if he has to step in for a few games, you know, hold the fort down. He's not a guy you want for all 16 games, but, you know, he's a guy who can sort of hold the fort down, and, you know, he ain't going to hurt you. He might not help you much, but he ain't going to hurt you that much either. And obviously, he got his start in New England, where new Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator Chad O'Shea is, and Brian Flores is. So there's some familiarity there probably with the offense Miami wants to run this year, in that he is familiar with the style of offense Chad O'Shea is probably going to implement here, as I would guess it'd be very similar to what was happening in New England. But again, what's the incentive for Indianapolis to trade Jacoby Brissett? Because he doesn't make a lot of money, and he's pretty good, and, you know, a solid number two quarterback. So if the Colts trade him, then now they have to go find another number two quarterback who might cost you more money. And the other thing here with Jacoby, he's only 26 years old. He's young. So, I mean, it's like, why would they trade him? I mean, it makes sense for Miami to want him. I get why they'd want him. He's a guy who is familiar with the offense Miami's about to implement and all that stuff. I get why Miami would want him to trade, but why would New England, I mean, why would Indianapolis part with him? It makes no sense. And if I'm Miami, if you're in this quote-unquote rebuilding time, if you're trying to sort of build for the future, you know, should you be parting with picks for a guy who's a stopgap quarterback, who's not your long-term answer at quarterback? I mean, what is Miami going to part with here? Pick in round four? I ain't parting with a pick in round four for a guy who at best is only going to start 1 year for you. For a guy at best is only sort of keeping the seat warm until you're either, you know, Murray, Drew Locke, Herbert, Tua is your, like, your next starting quarterback. Are you going to part with a pick for 1 year for a guy for 1 year? Possibly, if even that? It makes no sense. Now, if you're going to trade for him and sign him to an extension with the thought, okay, we're still going to draft someone in 2019 or 2020, obviously. They're our future, but we want Jacoby Brissett to be our long-term answer as a number two quarterback. Okay, that makes a little more sense because now you're reshaping the quarterback room and you're thinking about, okay, I'll part with something, get a Jacoby Brissett. He might play all of this year or most of this year, and after we get our young stud, whether in this draft or the next draft, we're going to hold on to him to be our number two quarterback because then we know we have our top two quarterbacks who are both very young, under the age of 30, sort of moving forward for years to come. Now, if you're telling me that's the plan, okay, I can start to get on board. But again, what are you going to part to get with Jacoby Brissett? My next topic I'm going to talk about is Joe Flacco and that trade. But obviously, Flacco went for a pick in round four. What would Jacoby Brissett cost? Well, again, the Colts, I don't know why they'd want to trade him because he makes no money. And you can hold on to him this year for only $2 million. It's like, so if you want him, the team who wants him is probably going to have to overpay. Which means what? Are you going to have to part with a pick in round three? You're going to have to part with a pick in round four? If so, you know, no. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it at all. So it'll be interesting to see. But this is starting to get some, it's starting to have some rumblings there of this possibly happening. Now, the other aspect of a trade is maybe it doesn't involve a draft pick. Maybe it could involve a player or so. Could Miami trade a Devontae Parker for Brissett? Possible. If you're the Colts, you sort of take a flyer on a guy who also has 1 year left on his deal with the fifth-year option. If you hit on him, pay dirt, then you try and re-sign him. If you don't, well, then he's gone after this year, and no harm, no foul. Could this be a package deal, possibly, for someone like Xavien Howard? Could the Colts be like, look, we really want someone like Xavien Howard. Because they're, you know, they're close to being a really good team who can go far in the playoffs. They think someone like Howard might be able to put them over the top. So maybe they'll do a package deal. Like, we'll swap picks in round, well, not really swap. We'll give you a pick in round two, and we'll give you Jacoby Brissett, and you give us Xavien Howard. Could it be something like that? Yeah, I guess that's possible. Absolutely. I could see something like that. So if it involves a player and not Miami having to part with a pick, I could very well, or maybe someone like Rashad Jones. They do an even swap. Rashad Jones for Jacoby Brissett. Again, possible, because you could see Miami's thought process of, we're going to move on from Rashad. He's getting a little older, makes a lot of money, and we sort of want to get some youth back there. And, you know, it's part of the rebuilding process. So we're going to do something like that. And in return, we get a quarterback who, you know, for at least 1 year will start. And maybe if we look to re-sign him, can be part of this team moving forward. It makes sense. But again, I just don't know why Indianapolis would want to trade Jacoby Brissett right now unless they're getting something big back in return that can really help them. Excuse me. So just something to keep an eye on here. And, you know, obviously the Flacco trade, which I'm going to talk about next. And we'll sort of segue into that. Joe Flacco obviously traded this week. Not official until the start of the league year. From the Ravens to the Denver Broncos for a fourth-round pick. And I think this is one of those trades that makes sense for both teams. If you're the Broncos, you know, you need help at the quarterback spot. And someone like Flacco, you know, you got to give him his credit. He did win a Super Bowl. I know it's a few years ago. And, you know, he's been injury prone, you know, since then. But if you're a team like the Broncos, you know, that team is ready to win now. They got a bunch of good young running backs. They got some young wide receivers who are very, very promising. And you have a defense who is, you know, one of the better ones in the league talent-wise. And, you know, when they're healthy, they can be one of the top defensive units in the league. So that's a team ready to win now. And someone like Case Keenum, you know, well, he had a nice year with the Vikings a couple years ago. He's just an okay quarterback. He's not someone who's going to sort of, you know, lead you to the promised land. Where someone like Flacco, he might not be either, but you got a better shot with someone like Flacco. And also the thing here with Flacco, his contract, he has no guaranteed money left. So even if after 1 year, Flacco is absolutely terrible, you can cut him, and all you really lost is a fourth-round pick. But so very little downside, but the upside where if you can, you know, protect Flacco, give him a solid running game, and give him some halfway decent wide receivers to throw to, something he hasn't had with the Ravens in a while now, give him some weapons, you know, maybe you strike lightning in a bottle, maybe you get one more year of quote-unquote the old Joe Flacco back, and maybe you make a run. Now, I think by them adding Flacco, they're still going to draft a quarterback here in round one. Whether that's, you know, whether that's Drew Locke, whether that's Daniel Jones, whether that's Kyler Murray or Haskins, who knows? But I think where they're sitting in round one there, I'd be very surprised if they didn't still take a quarterback, and they'll probably look to move on from Case Keenum. So with this trade of a fourth-round pick for Flacco, where does this tie in with Ryan Tannehill? And now we got the bar sort of in set. Joe Flacco for a fourth. So what would Tannehill net? And I know there's been a lot of debate online. I've gotten a bunch of emails. I've had people reach out to me. You know, well, if you can get a fourth-round pick for Flacco, Tannehill should get a fourth-round pick too. Maybe. And, I mean, it's not out of the question. But, again, the difference here is Joe Flacco had no guaranteed money left on his deal. So you can pretty much cut him at any time and not really take a cap hit. Tannehill does have guaranteed money left on his deal this year and next. Now, next year, and by next year, I mean 2020, it does drop significantly, but there's still something there. So if you're going to trade for him, you know, you better hope and pray that he's on your roster for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. And also, you know, fair or not, and to me, I think it's fair, but I can see how some people would say it's not. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Ryan Tannehill hasn't won squat in this league, okay? And while you can say Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, you know, a while ago, not so recently, you know, he still won one. And he still won big games on the road in the playoffs. He's won division titles, and he's come up big in big spots. Now, you know, the past couple of years, yes, he has not been great. But either is Ryan Tannehill. I mean, so it's like six and one half dozen the other. Ryan Tannehill hasn't been great ever, really, in his career. Outside of a small window of a few games in 2016. So I think there is a trade market for Tannehill. I think there's a trade market. I just don't know if it's a fourth round pick. Could it be a fifth or a sixth pop? That's what I'm thinking most likely. I'm thinking any team that might want to roll the dice on Ryan Tannehill would probably part with a fifth or a sixth. But in all honesty, at the end of the day, I'm still thinking nobody's going to trade for Ryan Tannehill because it's Ryan Tannehill. And why part with anything for a guy that you can probably just sign off the street when Miami does release him? Because Miami here, you know, doesn't have much leverage because everyone knows they're going to move on from him. And he's not the guy who will be on this roster next year. So, you know, and I don't know if there will be a huge bidding war for someone like Ryan Tannehill when he's on the, if he were to be cut and be a free agent. I don't see a lot of teams fighting over him. If I had a guess today, I'm thinking Case Keenum, because he does have ties with Pat Shurmur. Once the Broncos move on from him, I think he'll somehow, some way, wind up with the Giants and sort of be in a quarterback competition with Eli Manning. And that'll be a 1-2 punch with the Giants. I think Jacksonville and Nick Foles makes just way too much sense not to happen. It makes way, way, way too much sense not to happen. So I'm thinking that might be a marriage there. And so what's left here for Tannehill? Obviously, Washington is a spot, possibly. You could see Cincinnati as a spot. Even if they don't move on from Andy Dalton, they might want to bring someone in to sort of push Andy Dalton and have a little quarterback competition there. I mean, that would be some competition. Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, good Lord. I think I'm not a Bengals fan. But, you know, I could see them trying to bring someone in to sort of give them more depth and competition at that spot. And plus, Tannehill, he obviously has ties to Zach Taylor. So I could see a landing spot for him there. I'm just not so sure where Tannehill, you know, is going to have a lot of teams clamoring for him. So it makes it tough to trade him. Now, look, it only takes one. It only takes one team to watch you. And, you know, a fifth or a sixth round pick, some team might just say, yeah, sure. He makes our room better. He gives us some quality depth at the quarterback spot. Absolutely, I could see that. And I've heard some people say that the Jets might be a landing spot. There is no way in hell Ryan Tannehill is going to end up with the Jets. The Jets management, they know what happened to Miami with Adam Gase and his loyalty to Ryan Tannehill and how that sort of divided the locker room. They will not in any way let Tannehill anywhere near the Jets. No way, no how. Just not going to happen. So just something to keep an eye on here, because I know with the Flacco, sort of that first domino to fall here in the offseason quarterback carousel, you know, everyone then starts to look. Obviously, we got the rumor of Jacoby Brissett. What's going to happen now with Case Keenum? Ryan Tannehill will be on the move. Nick Foles, where is he going to land possibly? And this is going to heat up now in the next 3 or 4 weeks between now and the start of the new league year when free agency, you know, officially begins. So we're probably going to start hearing rumors. We're going to hear rumblings of what teams might be interested in Ryan Tannehill. I still think the team that makes the most sense is Washington at the end of the day. But again, if you're Washington, why part with a pick for this guy? He's not that good. And if you don't get him, you know, you go out there and sign Teddy Bridgewater. Is there really that much of a drop-off? No. I mean, there just isn't. I mean, they're both, you know, okay type quarterbacks in this league at this point in 2018 with all the injuries Tannehill's had. That's who he is. He's on that level. So we'll see. But I wanted to mention that because now with the Flacco trade, Tannehill on the move or will he just be cut? We're going to start getting more information here over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks, I think. And a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation should start to be out there as that news starts to circulate. So that's all I have for today's show. We will have another show on Saturday with Tom Earnessy. We're going to do a special Saturday show for you. Have a quick one there. And everyone, be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a bunch of new articles up. We have a new mock draft up. And just a bunch of new content up on the website. Everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter, @DolphinsTalk, as well as on Instagram. We have someone new on our staff has taken over our Instagram page. And they're going to be far more active than I was with it. They're going to be more interactive with polls and conversations and putting up pictures. So be sure to follow us on Instagram @DolphinsTalk. Again, @DolphinsTalk. And for those of you old school listeners who aren't on social media, but just want to reach out to me and send me an email, you can email me @DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. I got a very nice email this week from James. He sent me an email who's a little bit older and wanted to talk about the Nick Bonacani HBO documentary. He heard on the show, which is true. I did watch it this past weekend as I did get a screener of it in advance of it being released this week on HBO. And, you know, he has some old Nick Bonacani stories. So, James, thanks for the email. I did respond, but, you know, there is a large segment of the people who listen to this podcast who aren't on social media. The old school fans, I like to call them. The people who were around in the 60s and 70s who were here at the inception of this franchise when it first got off the ground. And you know, I always love those listeners to this podcast because when they do email me, they sort of lend that perspective of someone who's been there since day one. And those are the best fans who've been there since day one. Now, I'm old, but I'm not that old. I haven't been there since day one. I was born in the 70s, so I'm old. I'm an old guy. I get it. But, you know, I always like talking to the fans who are a little bit older than me. And who can share stories that predate me because they're the best. So, James, thanks for that email. And anyone, feel free to email me with questions, comments, anything. We'll start once the offseason gets going, once it really gets going into free agency and stuff. Just like last year, I'll do a bunch of mailbag shows. Last year, we did a bunch of mailbag shows and where I answer all your emails and questions. And, you know, I usually like to let the email bag get filled up and get sort of like a bank of questions, and then we'll just plow through them. We'll just plow through them in the months where not much is happening after the draft, May, June, into July, when it's a slow time of the offseason, after the draft, after free agency. We'll just jump in the mailbag, and, you know, we'll answer new questions, old questions, you know, odd questions. I remember last year we did a show pretty much talking about the old publication, Dolphins Digest, which is actually still out and made, which many people didn't know. You can still buy the publication, Dolphins Digest. We did a whole show on that, talking about memories of that, how that was the thing back in the day. And just, you know, fun shows like that. We did a show talking about when Zonka, Kick, and Warfield left for the WFL, sort of a deep dive show into the backstory of that. So mailbag questions, whether it's old or new, on like the current stuff with Flores, feel free to send them in, because eventually we'll get to them. Might not be right away, but we'll get to them. As you know, in the offseason, we do more of the mailbag stuff here on the podcast. So, everyone have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.